AJ, I'm going to do something on this show that's going to really piss people off.
What is that?
You'll just have to listen and find out.
You're not actually going to piss off anybody, are you?
I've got a confession to make. Exploding Peril Podcast for February 12th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother Ashguy.
Hello.
And just us two going... I always want to say going solo, but that makes no sense since there's
going
two of us.
Going duo, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. All right, here we are. Here's what we're doing today. We're going to start off the news. We got NPDs, some Fable 3 stuff, all breaking news. Very exciting. Very well timed our podcast, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Then Thursday is apparently a big day.
All right. Then we'll go to the Great American Edge Guy Gaming Quiz. Got Let's Go Topical, so we got five things to talk about there. Then we'll do Our Week in Gaming. You've been playing Bioshock 2.
Yep.
And I just been playing Mass Effect 2, so got relevant new releases to talk about. Actually, Matt, how old is Mass Effect 2 now?
Couple of weeks, at least.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's on the January NPDs now, I think about it, so it may not be as new as I think. All right, but look, we'll talk about it anyways a little bit. But Bioshock 2, that's new. Everyone wants to hear about that, yeah.
Yes.
All right, good. So then we'll do the weekly releases, and that'll wrap up the show, so let's get going. Start with the NPDs, I assume?
Okay, hardware. Everything's down.
Oh, sure. Last month was Christmas.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what? You know what, though? People would run this story and say console sales are down from the month. Like, not even point that out.
Yeah.
Did you? Okay, well, I'll get into that later. Let's go.
Okay. Here's the numbers. The Wii is at 466,000, down from their staggering 3.34 million.
Mm-hmm.
The DS is at 422,000, the 360 at 333,000, the PS3 at 277,000, PSP at 100,000, and PS2 at 42,000.
I still have to take away from this. Like, when do we start panicking about the PSP?
I don't know.
I still don't get it. Like, when is it just like not good enough?
There's rumors of a relaunch of the PSP Go coming.
Well, you could use that, that's for sure. What are they going to... I mean, look, I hate to say it, put a UMD drive on there, so it's basically just a prettier PSP. That's the only thing you can do.
Pretty much, yeah. I think when they say relaunch, it's like a marketing relaunch. It's not anything exchanging out the hardware.
They didn't even market it that much, though,
well,
did they?
Yeah. No, they didn't.
So, I mean, they could fool people into believing that it just came out pretty easily. I mean, this summer, though, we are getting Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, which is going to be amazing.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
no
man.
Doubt.
Oh, you shut up. Go play Kingdom Hearts 2.
Okay.
God, okay, good. All right, what about... I mean, that's about, yeah, nothing to say there. Be software sales. Let's do it.
New Super Mario Bros. Wii...
Number one.
Yeah, expect to see 56,700.
Expect to see that for a while.
Yeah. Then we have Mass Effect 2 at number 2.
Pretty strong showing for considering
572,000. Yeah, I'm excited. You got Wii Fit Plus 555,000. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and 360 at 326.7. Mario Kart and the Wii at 310. Wii Sports Resort at 297. Modern Warfare 2 and the PS3 at 259. Army of Two, the 40th day, sneaks in at 246,000.
No, I thought it would be in there somewhere.
Then Just Dance on the Wii sold 191,000. I don't even know what that is.
It's a very casual game, as you can imagine.
And then good to see Darksiders for the 360 on there with 171,000.
No Bayonetta anywhere.
I didn't expect it.
Really? I mean, there's a decent marketing push for it.
It's... Even, like, when people see that commercial, it just looks weird. I mean, there was a lot of marketing for Kill Bill, but people see it, and they're like, that just looks strange.
I guess so. I just thought that maybe... I mean, Devil May Cry was a good seller. I mean, you know, it's not to say that, oh, Bayonetta, you know, isn't making a profit or anything, but...
Right.
Who knows? I don't know. Did Mass Effect 2 come out on the PS3?
No, it is a 360 and PC exclusive.
Mass Effect 1 never came out on the PS2, right?
Well, Mass Effect 1 was published by Microsoft.
That's right.
That was before BioWare was bought by EA.
I think we had this conversation last week.
It's entirely possible.
Okay. That's not a waste of anyone's time. All right. Anything else you want to say? Like I said, New Super Mario Bros. Wii is going to be doing pretty well for some time to come now.
Yeah. It knocked New Super Mario Bros. DS off the list.
I'm always kind of shocked that BioWare games sell so well. I always imagine them being much more niche products than they actually are.
Yeah, you would kind of expect that given their kind of hardcore PC RPG roots.
Right.
But honestly, KOTOR, I think, did a lot to really help them crack the mainstream.
Well, because, it's Star Wars.
Star Wars helps, yeah. And, good for them. I mean, they always make good games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problems with that. All right, let's move on.
So we also have the X10 event going on from Microsoft with some Xbox news. First of which is an announcement for the Halo Reach beta, which is coming May 3rd. So if you have your copy of ODST, you'll be able to play that.
Oh my God! Halo multiplayer. I can't wait to see what that's like.
Apparently, from the impressions I got on Twitter from various journalists, the new animation system this game is really good. And according to the Game Informer article I wrote, remember how we were talking about like the
you read?
Read.
I was like, yes, are you want to tell me something?
I have an announcement. In the Game Informer cover story of Reach, God damn it, I can't talk tonight. I'm so tired. Anyway, remember how we were complaining how like one problem with Halo 3 and ODST is how the
animations are terrible.
The character models are relatively low poly and not very detailed. They've addressed that now too. Like they showed comparisons of like guns and soldiers and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that.
It looks a lot better now.
I mean, it should. See, like,
well, yes.
Those are things that I should. Those are things that I kind of always expected from Halo. Yeah. And I guess it's nice that they're finally happening.
Yeah, they're using mocap for a lot of the animations now. So, yeah, hopefully it's good.
Man, those animations were ugly. All right. What else happened?
Have the details of a Final Fantasy XIII 360 bundle.
In America?
Yes.
I guess it would have to be America, yeah.
Yeah. On March 9th for $399. It's very similar to the Call of Duty bundle. You get the console, 250-gigabyte hard drive, two wireless controllers, and the game.
Is there anything...
You get exclusive downloadable avatar item as well.
Is there anything special about the system itself? Any
the hard drive, instead of saying 250 gigabytes, says Final Fantasy 13.
That's nice, I guess.
It's white. They basically took like old pro models and packaged them up, I guess. There is going to be like a supposedly rare faceplate they'll be selling separately as well that has lightning on it and was designed by Nomura.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Then we have, I'm sorry, were you going
to
say something?
I was about to say, if it wasn't Nomura, if it was, what's his face? The guy who did the artwork for,
Like 7?
No, Nomura did do 7.
Oh, wait,
The original guy. Did it before 7.
It starts with an A.
Yeah, I know this. I have an art book of all this stuff. His art is amazing.
Is it a mono or something like that?
Something like that. The problem was that his art was never, especially back in the early days, there was no way to really transfer it.
Yeah, didn't translate into video game very well. Made nice character portraits.
Yeah.
Let's see, then we have a duo of Left 4 Dead DLC. First, Left 4 Dead 2 is getting DLC entitled The Passing, which will take the characters from Left 4 Dead 1 and kind of put them into the Left 4 Dead 2 world and mix them up. Then there's going to be, after that, Left 4 Dead 1 DLC that is the story of how they got to New Orleans.
Okay. Doesn't this seem messed up to anyone else? That both these games are so new that we have DLC for both of them? Am I the only one?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. You're probably not. I just like playing Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, I know. Okay, whatever.
Then
how much of Left 4 Dead 2 did you play, for all your defending it?
I haven't played it yet, actually.
Yeah, I thought. Do you own it?
Yeah.
You own it, and you haven't played it at all.
No. So, I bought it when it was like $30 on the Steam sale, figuring that's as cheap
as
it's going to be.
That's what I thought. Chris already returned his, so we know who the real winner is. Never mind all the money they made selling it. I win. All right.
Then we got our shocking Fable 3 details.
I better be pissed off.
Yeah, Molyneux promised earlier in the week would piss gamers off, and his shocking revelation is that the game has no HUD.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck me. I just want to punch a baby right now. I can't handle this.
The only way you'll be able to see your health is that the color in the world will desaturate.
What? They are blowing my mind right now. What?
Here's my problem, though.
Wait.
No,
go ahead.
He then goes on to explain this touch system he's been talking about so proudly, which is basically you use the right trigger to do context-sensitive actions. That basically it sounds like you're holding a lot of people's hands.
Basically it sounds like you're dragging people anywhere. Okay, what else? Keep going. What else is going to happen in Fable 3? Just go, then we'll comment.
Okay, so then there's also the whole ruling the kingdom aspect that'll come in through about halfway in the game. Apparently, in this game, you play as the 18-year-old son of your Fable 2 character. It's not, I'm not entirely certain if your Fable 2 character is the king or if it's just some other king, but you have to overthrow the king because he's a tyrant. Which, if it's that your Fable 2 character is the king now, that's kind of stupid because my guy was good. Why would he be a tyrant?
I don't think your Fable 2 character is the king now.
Wasn't that what was implied with that See the Future DLC?
I think with the See the Future DLC, it was implied that your son becomes the king.
Son. Okay. That makes sense. So yeah, you overthrow the king, and then like, there's no experience points. Your experience is metered by how many people are following you.
Okay, here's what is an experience point system?
I don't know.
It tracks experiences. It tracks points, and when you get so many points, you get a level. Now, replace an experience point with a person, and you have the same thing.
Let's see. Then your weapon itself will also change its appearance, kind of like how the character does. Like, if you kill a lot of innocents, your sword will drip blood and all this stuff.
Yeah.
He then went on to explain how the 2D artwork in Fable 1 and 2 were basically crappy, and that's why no one ever changed their armor. Which, you know, because I'd never change my armor or use a different weapon in the game. I don't know what he's talking about.
What? Wait, what?
I don't really feel like the inventory was poorly designed like in any particular way, nor did it keep me from using it.
Who are these people who weren't upgrading their inventory?
I don't know. And then he had some details about the dog. It's going to be even more dog-like. It apparently hates rabbits.
Now, see, here's the thing. With something like that, you always hear, like, oh, that's cool. If your dog sees a rabbit, he'll go chasing it. It would be cool if it happened once, but the problem is you know you're going to run, like, every time you go out somewhere, there'll be a rabbit. And, like, this thing that should be, like, this organic, cute moment gets ruined because it keeps happening far more often than it should.
Right.
I don't know.
Here's my problem. It sounds like there's a lot of context-sensitive stuff with this touch system, and there's still all the actions mapped to the D-pad. But the problem with a context-sensitive system is you need to know what the context is. And if there's no HUD, how are you supposed to know?
Here's my problem. This doesn't sound, like, very different from Fable 2.
No, it really doesn't.
From all the talk and, like, I don't know, like, I didn't have expectations it was going to be good, but I had expectations they were going to do something crazy, and it sounds like he's not. It's kind of weird.
It's basically Fable 2 with the hand-holding from Ico.
Right. Like, I'm a little surprised. Like, this doesn't sound like, I mean, it sounds like, I guess it just sounds like what a Fable 3 probably would be if there wasn't as much bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just a little
And of course, what I hate too is they wouldn't allow the release of any screenshots or video of this. It's like, you know what, Peter Molyneux? If you're going to get up here and talk in such detail about this crap anyway, why not put out some screenshots to illustrate your point rather than leaving it to us to interpret your typically pie in the sky speeches?
I mean, I'm sure it's going to look like Fable 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fable 2, I think, I mean, that wasn't, like I said, and you have to agree with me, I said it back then, I totally stand by it now just because no one talks about it. Fable 2 was a very forgettable game. Totally forgettable experience.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but yeah.
Nothing memorable about it.
It was like, oh, one of the best games
ever. It didn't do anything to affect anything. Like, the way that apparently Ico is changing things that are, you know, like, affect the way that he's making Fable 3. Fable 2 will not change the way anyone thinks about anything. Nor will Fable 3, probably.
Oh, he also said that the game's going to have, like, actual co-op this time.
Oh, okay. That's nice, I guess. You know,
you don't have to stay on the same screen.
Uncharted 1 did the saturation thing, right?
for health.
Yeah, I mean, he admits he's taking it from shooters.
I just, like...
I don't see how that's going to piss people off.
Do you still have to eat... Is it going to also have, like, the regen health thing from shooters?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened to health bars, man? Those went out of style
fast.
They're
coming back for Halo Reach.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's going back to, like, the Halo 1 health system.
But that was... Well, Halo 1 started it because it was half thing, and I thought ODST already did that anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. The half recharge shield, half otherwise. I mean, I'm not saying I necessarily hate it. But I don't know about it in a platformer game. Seriously, Fable 2 is already pretty freaking easy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Fable 3 is going to be easy as shit. It will be. I can already see it now. Regen health. What do you? Yeah. I don't understand. You drag people around to do things. It's rare when you see a game where the developer spends so much time talking about like everything, but like kind of what the actual game really is about. Because you know that game is still mostly about swinging your axe or sword and shooting people. But yeah. He goes on and on about how you drag this person over here, you're gonna sell him into slavery, and it'll be real dramatic. I'm like, okay.
Yes, yeah, so you brought up a very good point though. All these things that he talks about are the kind of things that should happen once or twice and be really cool
right. Individual
moments.
See, here's
moments.
The thing.
He tries to make a game out of those.
When he says stuff like, oh, you can drag a guy to the slave things and he'll be shocked. Okay, that'll be in there. But he says stuff like that in the expectation that, oh, you can do anything. Well, no, you can do that. You can do it a bunch of times. That's the problem. I don't know. Fable is... It's not as cool as Peter Molyneux thinks it is.
No.
I guess. I just am shocked that there's not more to this. I mean, I guess we didn't hear anything about Natal stuff, and is that still rumored to be in it?
Yeah, it's still rumor. That's what people thought was going to be, like, the piss you off thing, was like, it was going to become a Natal exclusive game or something.
Like when he said it was going to piss me off, I was at least, like, you know, piqued my interest. I'm like, oh, I wonder what he's going to do. That's going to be so crazy. His thing was there's no HUD. Whoop-de-freaking-do. Oh, man, you're shocking me.
You know what, though? You sound kind of pissed.
I'm pissed not for the reasons he thinks I am.
Yeah.
I'm pissed at the way he insults my intelligence. Like, does he really think I care that much? Clearly I do, I guess. All right, let's move on.
In line with some Halo news, when we announced the closure of Xbox One, Xbox Live last week, in the interim, apparently all the Xbox One DLC went away, which had people up in arms because Bungie's going to host like a formal send-off to Halo 2 on April 14th. But without being able to download the DLC, you can't use any of the matchmaking. And it's all free right now. Apparently that was done by accident. It's all back online right now. So, you know, you could go download your Halo 2 map packs and play that on April 14th.
Yeah, good. Say goodbye to Halo 2. That came out on PC though, right? I mean, I imagine people can still play it online on PC.
Yeah, you can,
however long they want, so.
Next, we have some Netflix news. First of all, they are bringing 5.1 surround sound to their instant streaming, which I presume is going to be for Xbox and PlayStation sometime this year, which is good. Then it gets funny. We get to play our favorite game, quoting dumb executives once again. They are trying to downplay the importance of HD, or the lack. Well, like, they're trying to say that it's not a big deal that they won't have HD on the Wii. And this comes from Netflix Vice President of Corporate Communications, Steve Swayze. Basically, he went on to thewire.com to point out that only 1 in 17 titles on Netflix streaming is available in HD. HD content is only 720p, not 1080p, and that it's not available with 5.1 surround sound. Then he says, quote, "The HD experience in Netflix instant watching isn't that overwhelming. It's a little bit underwhelming." Okay, asshole.
Jeez.
"Let me teach you a little lesson in PR."
Our product sucks
anyway. That's basically what he's saying. He's like, well, it's shitty anyway. And here's the thing. 1 in 17 titles, well, yeah, most of the stuff on Netflix instant watch are from the 70s. Anything that's new is in HD.
What do you want?
I mean,
he's stupid.
Probably like 1 in 500 movies is in HD anyway. That's not the issue, idiot.
Oh man.
And I also don't understand why they don't do 1080p, because they're using the same exact streaming technology on the Xbox, at least, that is used for the Zune Marketplace, which does do 1080p. So it's like the technology's there; they just don't want to do it.
Who knows? Don't ask me.
This is why I'm glad I didn't go into PR, because like the PR.
Were you going to go into PR?
It did cross my mind for a little bit when I was an undergrad. But like, you know, the PR people for Netflix have got to be like, "Oh my god, asshole, shut up!"
Right.
Where'd my news window go? So anyway, PC BioShock 2 players are upset. First of all, you did hear about all the DRM nonsense that goes on.
I kind of ignored it. I'm kind of getting sick of the DRM complaint that comes out every time with a game. Well, aren't you?
Yeah, but it is kind of excessive in this game. There's up to three layers of DRM. First, there's secure ROM, where I had to enter my CD key. Then once I launched the game, I had to enter the CD key again for the Games for Windows Live component, and it's also going through Steam security. It's like, relax, relax. All Everyone's right. going to crack this all anyway, okay?
Nope, no they're not.
Oh, yeah.
It's uncrackable.
Will. Yeah. Then, of course, the first game was remembered for its PC widescreen issue, where instead of widening the screen, it cropped down the 4x3. Yeah, they did that again. They claim it was a mistake, and they're going to fix it.
This time. That's nice.
Then they also... I didn't realize this was an issue, but apparently people are upset that it doesn't support a gamepad, to which they said it's not going to. Yeah, it's like you bought it on the PC. It's a shooter. Play it with a mouse and keyboard.
That's weird. Do people do
that? Because, I mean, the interface is significantly different on the PC version from the 360 version. It doesn't have that radial wheel that pauses the game when you select a plasmid. You just pick one with the, you know, 27 keys you have at your disposal.
Right.
Then, this is weird to me. Remember how there were WiiWare demos for a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, they're gone now.
How many did you download?
I never got to download any.
I never downloaded either.
I left my Wii remotes at home, remember, after Christmas, and it wasn't until, like, last week I finally got them back.
Oh, man, because you would have been playing so much of your Wii.
I did want to get the BitTrip Beat demo to try it, but apparently it was intended all along to be a limited program.
Well, that's kind of what they're saying now.
Maybe you should let people know.
I don't know. Maybe they're testing it. I don't know. Whatever.
But apparently all the developers are kind of upset because they all saw great jumps in their sales as a result of demos.
Really? Well,
yeah.
If it really was profitable, I'm sure it'll come back in some shape or form.
Hopefully, because it's like, why wouldn't you? I don't know. Then another effort in futility. Cyan has decided to, for the third time now, try reviving the online component of Uru.
I feel like it runs a story every other month that someone's bringing back Uru.
Well, you know, because now it's available on Good Old Games, so it's back out there. It's completely free to play and everything like that, so, you know, whatever. Then from Telltale Games, this is actually pretty sweet. They're going to start porting all of their adventure games to the Mac, and if you've bought it on their website, you'll get the Mac client for free. So right now, the entire Tales of Monkey Island is up there, and I'm finally going to finish it, I promise.
You're better.
I think they have like a poll going on right now to decide which is the next series they should port. I think Strong Bad is winning.
Strong Bad was a pretty good one by them, actually.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Then we have Mega Man 10 to wrap everything up with release dates.
Woo!
This makes no sense to me.
It happened before, last time.
Was it this extreme?
Maybe not quite this extreme, but pretty much.
Well, you have... It comes out March 1st on the Wii, then March 11th on the PS3, then March 31st on the 360. It's a whole month.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Better just give her the Wii.
I guess so.
That's what I'm doing, I guess. Sort of different with Mega Man 9 anyways.
Yeah. And, that's what I got.
Pretty good. All right. Let's move on to the quiz. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Question number one. The first BioShock was released in what month?
August.
Correct.
Of 2007.
Yep. The original Fable was released in what year?
The original Fable was released in 2003.
2004.
Damn it.
Okay. Who was the hero of skill in Fable 2?
That assassin guy.
Yeah, what was his name? He was such a memorable character.
Yeah, I know. Assassin guy.
It was Weaver.
That's it.
He was a jerk. Question 4. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time was released in what year?
Sands of Time was,
Got a lot of eager
was
questions.
Was that 2002?
2003.
Damn it. Question. I should always take whatever answer I'm going to give and add one to it.
Question five. The original Prince of Persia came out in what year?
The original Prince of Persia?
Mm-hmm.
Like the old rotoscoped one?
Right, the first one.
Yeah, 1993?
1989.
Oh, wow, I was way off.
Bonus question. I think you've gotten one. You got the first one. Who composed the opening theme for Fable?
Oh, Danny Elfman.
All right. Little redemption there.
Yay.
All right. Ready to go topical?
Okay.
Let's go topical then. All right, first topic. Fable 3 will ultimately be nothing special.
It'll be about as big a deal as Fable 2 was, I think, in the grand scheme of things.
Well, Fable 2 is a pretty good seller, I guess, right?
Yeah, it'll sell well, but, like, I don't know. It's not a game that people still talk about. I mean, Fallout 3 came out at the same time. People still talk about Fallout 3.
That's a weird way to put it.
I mean, yeah. They're both RPGs that released in, you know, the winter of 2008. Fallout 3's relevant still. Fable 2, not so much.
It's interesting because we might have Fable 3 and Fallout New Vegas. Yeah, around the same time.
That'd be cool.
And I guess we already kind of dissected and tore Fable 3 apart in the news segment, huh?
Yeah.
When is it coming out? Is it coming out this year?
This holiday. They confirmed it at the event.
That's pretty soon.
Huh. Yeah.
All right. Next. Discontinuing original Xbox Live support is a mistake.
If it's only to increase the friends limit cap, then yeah, because like I said, I am convinced that is a problem perpetuated by whiny journalists.
Yeah.
Who just want random people on their friends list, you know, for good reasons, to play with the community and everything.
I highly
doubt that, you know, the average Xbox user knows more than 100 people playing online.
Why would you want that many friends? Doesn't that get annoying?
Like, how do you even manage it?
It just keeps popping up. Like, oh, this guy's online. How can you play like that?
Yeah, seriously. Now, if they take this opportunity to enhance the service further by doing things that they couldn't do because of the limitations of the original Xbox, then that's fine.
Like
I'm okay with that. I don't know what they could do. I mean, I know in the past they said that there were... Like, when they were asked about the 100 friends limit, they said, you know, there's a lot of limitations placed on the service that because we have to conform to Xbox One standards that keep us from doing things. He didn't say what it was. But, I don't even know what you possibly could do, but I'm sure there's something they have in mind, and if that happens, then that's fine. I mean, really, aside from Halo 2, what games are people really playing online on the original Xbox to any great extent, you know?
I guess this was ultimately inevitable.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess it might as well happen now. It doesn't really affect me at all.
Right.
So, I guess I don't care. Next question. Heavy Rain will find a mainstream audience. Making you think a little.
Yeah, you're
gotta make you
think.
Did you play the demo yet?
No, because it just came out today.
I haven't played it
yet. I got some code earlier in the week by playing some ARG, but the code didn't work.
ARG?
Something reality game? Alternate reality game, I think it stands for. That iHeart Bees thing.
What?
I mean, I cheated. I got the answers off Kotaku or something.
I know you're talking about it now.
Yeah. It's going to depend on its marketing, I think, which we haven't seen a lot of thus far.
It's a little early.
But it's just that from everything I read about it, people seem to like it, but they all admit it's a very adult game. And the thing is, too, whereas you could say something like Grand Theft Auto is an adult game, this is an adult game that I don't even think will appeal to kids. Like, I can't imagine many 12-year-olds are going to want to play Heavy Rain by looking at it.
Right.
When's
the actual release date?
It's like February 19th, I think. Sometime this month, very soon.
Okay.
19th may be wrong. What needs to happen is there needs to be, I don't know what the audience is like, there needs to be a number of 20 to 30-year-old men who own PlayStation 3s that are willing to buy this.
I imagine most PS3 owners are in that age frame anyways.
Yeah, that's probably their best bet at it, but like,
It's kind of uncharted territory.
Yeah, and not the game Uncharted, but like actually Uncharted. Because that's like, I don't know, because you think back to Indigo Prophecy. I mean, that didn't do anything spectacular.
But, no advertising for that, though.
Yeah, what this game has going for it is its looks. I mean, it does look good.
But in a way, it'll be accessible in a way other games can't. Like, you could recommend this game to maybe somebody who is a Madden sort of player, and they can play through it.
Right.
There's, you know, there's no real challenge, supposedly, right?
I think, honestly, more than anything, what will help this game in this day and age that maybe would have helped Indigo Prophecy is going to be word of mouth. Things like Twitter, things like Facebook, people talking about it. I feel like once that hardcore group gets it and starts talking about it, and people start to find out what it actually is, it stands a chance at getting out there. And the thing is, too, if it does succeed, it does have the potential to kind of start this whole new sub-market in gaming where you make these more adult, not so much focused on, like, shooting or platforming, but more just like an interactive storytelling kind of thing.
If it is a success, we'll see a lot of imitators pretty quickly.
Right.
Which
The thing I think this game did that's most interesting that I expect a lot more games will do, I don't know if you knew this, they outsourced a lot of the model creation for the really mundane things in the game, like chairs and apples and just random stuff like that, just because they're like, you know, we don't need the guys who are making the facial models for our characters, they don't need to make a desk. We can hire some guys in China to do that. And we can hire a bunch of people to really populate this world with a lot of unique stuff. I think that's an interesting approach that you're going to see a lot more of in the future.
I buy that. Alright, next up. Bioshock 2 stood no chance of being critically better received than its predecessor.
No, it never did. There's a bias against that game right from the get-go. I mean, and Kotaku, at like the top of their page and their headlines, it said, like, Bioshock 2 review, this game didn't need to happen, or something like that. It's why not?
You know, I will have to say, I don't understand why Bioshock didn't need a sequel, but, like, Half-Life did.
Did end in a cliffhanger.
Okay, fine. You know what I mean, though.
Right.
I mean, System Shock 2 was a sequel.
Yeah, lest we all forget. Honestly, I think people's outrage is that it wasn't made by Ken Levine, basically.
It'd be interesting to see if the same exact game came out and it was, you know, it was Irrational Games, Bioshock 2.
Yeah.
What the reaction would have been. I mean, I haven't played it yet. You're going to talk about it a bit more.
Well, and again, Tycho talked about this in his most recent news post, where he said, like, the game's getting really high scores, but when you read the text of the reviews, it's all really murky.
Right.
A lot of ifs and buts and everything.
Yeah, everyone just seems like... It seems like people kind of like it, but begrudgingly.
Yeah, like, they didn't want to like it. And, you know, there is that sense that it is kind of a corporate cash-in, especially like when you start the game, you see four separate 2K studio logos flash across the screen. You're like, great.
See, that's one thing. That annoys me, that corporate cash-in. Like, everyone's not out to make money.
Yeah, I don't buy that either, like, as an argument against this
corporate cash-in. Quick, let's give Modern Warfare 2 a 10 out of 10. But those corporate cash-ins... hey, Uncharted 2 is a corporate cash-in, I'll admit it.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, wait, this is our best game. We should make another one.
Right. I don't know. You'll talk about that more in detail, though, when we get there to the thing.
Here's the thing, though.
What?
It doesn't matter. Bioshock 1 sold well.
Bioshock 2 was so crazy.
And the people who like Bioshock 1, of which there are many, will buy Bioshock 2. They don't... The average person doesn't know who Ken Levine is. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, that's the thing we kind of forget.
We all like Ken Levine. I think he's a good designer. He seems like a good guy. No one knows who the fuck Ken Levine is. When Tim Schafer was on Jimmy Fallon, 90% of that viewing audience is like, who's this guy? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
People need to realize this. I hope someday maybe we can get to that point where a game director is just as big as a movie director, but we are certainly not there yet.
I imagine Bioshock 2 has a good chance of being the best-selling game of February. Maybe behind New Super Mario Bros. Wii. Mario Kart Wii. And Wii Motion Plus, or whatever the hell. Okay. Now, here's our last one. God of War 3 is the biggest release of March.
What about Final Fantasy 13, Mike?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Well, let's see. Final Fantasy 13 is multi-platform. God of War 3 is a sequel to a hugely successful franchise that has a bit more mainstream appeal. They did a good thing by releasing the God of War collection to re-spark interest in the game.
Final Fantasy's best days as a selling force are behind it. We can agree on that.
That's very true.
God of War is in the midst of its sort of heyday.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to go with God of War, I think.
I mean, I'm much more excited for Final Fantasy XIII.
Right, right. But in the mainstream sensibility, yeah, I mean, you know, the JRPG to a series that everyone liked the seventh game and the eighth game may have turned off those.
Everyone liked the tenth game too, it seemed like.
Yeah, but you see, remember, like, I mean, Final Fantasy VII was huge. Everybody played Final Fantasy VII. Not everybody played 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
A lot of people played 10, more so than them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was at the time, it was like, oh, new system, and this game looks really good on it. And, oh, yeah, I remember Final Fantasy VII. That was pretty sweet.
I think Final Fantasy XIII will have that going for it, too.
It will. It needed to come out sooner in this console cycle for that to happen.
Final Fantasy XIII is still, I can say this, it is still the first next-gen RPG. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's the first next-gen RPG, but it's not the first next-gen game in that way that Final Fantasy X was in a lot of ways.
What year was Final Fantasy X?
2001, wasn't it?
Okay, that was like the same time as Metal Gear Solid. Oh, you know what? It might have been just 2000, in which case I buy what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let me look it up now. But yeah.
But, you know, I mean, think about it. Since this console generation came out, we've had two Gears of War games, Metal Gear Solid.
It's interesting because things have already changed so much just in this console generation already.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
You look at Gears of War 1 was a big deal when that came out. It's almost an antique now.
Yeah.
It was 2001,
like
by the way.
The graphical wow factor, I mean, yeah, I'll say it's a good-looking game, but we've had a lot of good-looking games. Whereas Final Fantasy VII and X had the advantage of being among the first good-looking games.
But Final Fantasy, just still from Final Fantasy VII and from Final Fantasy X, the series does have that reputation of kind of pushing boundaries graphically. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll still count for them. I think it'll sell certainly better than Final Fantasy XII did. Even with Final Fantasy XII having an advantage with install base.
Here's what I think. It'll do Final Fantasy X numbers without accounting for general growth in the industry. You know what I mean?
Right. It'll kind of do as good, but not as good.
It'll do good number wise, but not as good percentage wise. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think
it's sort of like how Avatar is the highest grossing movie, but it's not the most attended movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, like, God of War. Pretty much anyone with a PS3 is probably going to buy that game.
I tell you what, though. In a couple of years, the God of War kind of thing is going to become a relic.
You think?
I think that Kratos character kind of thing is going to be as much a relic of the last decade as the Duke Nukem kind of character was of the
90s.
Yeah,
I saw you. Where did you post this? On Twitter?
Probably
on
Twitter.
That was interesting, actually. I did mean to bring that up, and I kind of forgot about it. I'm glad you remembered. I actually found that to be kind of insightful. I think you have a good point. Like, I think, like, Kratos and Marcus Fenix, those kind of badass characters who are always angry and scowl all the time and just spout off pissed off one-liners. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. They're like this era's Duke Nukem.
Right. And the new thing is obviously it's going to be the sort of wisecracking, sort of free-going. You know, it's the Nathan Drake. That's why you have Nolan North doing the voice for practically every game character now, because they're all trying to do that character now.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we may as well get the actor.
Right. Yeah, but Kratos still has one more big outing in him. I think after God of War 3, though, the series won't have the power that it's been enjoying for a while now.
I mean, but the possibility does exist that now that we get like a true next gen God of War, because more so than Final Fantasy, God of War will benefit, I think, a lot from Flash. The fact that you will have you are on the back of a Titan for a level, like, that's kind of impressive. If that really sinks into people, there's a chance they're going to want another one of those, even bigger.
Sure, I'm not saying there won't be a God of War 4. It won't be like God of War 3 though. Again, after this, we're getting to a downfall. You know, which will be fine because the series is up high enough that even in a downfall for a few years, they're going to be able to get quite a bit out of it. Which is something people don't understand sometimes. You see, there's those articles on, it was Kotaku, they're just pissing me off. They like decided it was going to be like, it was like anti-World of Warcraft Day or something.
You're spoiling my shtick. I was going to introduce my own Let's Go Topical topic.
All right, what's your Let's Go Topical topic?
So, do you think the end times are here for World of Warcraft because its growth is stagnated?
Yeah. The article was that there was no growth from this year to last year in World of Warcraft. Which, okay, but the growth, you know, what that means is that they're stuck at 11.5 million subscribers. Stuck.
Right.
11.5 million subscribers. There's got to be a point where there just aren't enough people anymore.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I'm not crazy, right? That sounds stupid, right?
No, I mean, if I had a 6-year-old game, well, let's say more 5-year-old game, with 11.5 million people who are playing it and giving me $15 a month to do so, I'm pretty friggin' happy.
Right.
And even if that number drops to 9 million, I'm okay.
Right. And then the same day they ran a, it was an article about a shocking revelation. Most people don't get their World of Warcraft character past level 10. Yeah? I thought we knew that.
Yeah.
Most people aren't getting their characters level 80. I don't know. It just, that seemed obvious to me.
Yeah, but you look at it, has the mighty MMO plateaued.
Yeah, but it was just the voice of the article is really weird. It was literally like, it's the end times for World of Warcraft. I was like, what?
Well, it's like talking about some famous mountain climber. Like, he climbed to the top of Mount Everest, but he won't climb any higher. Is this the end of his climbing career? It's like, he's on fucking top of Mount Everest.
I'll tell you what, I would have been the guy.
Where else is he gonna go?
I would have gone to Mount Everest and brought a fucking step ladder. To get on the top. Get a couple more steps up there.
And let's not forget, too, we do have a new expansion coming.
Right.
If you don't think that's going to at least get us to 12 million.
But even if it doesn't, they're at a point where holding on to their normal subscriber base will be pretty good for a while. I mean, I think for most MMOs, their subscribers start falling after 2 years, right? If that, if they're not shut down.
Right.
So, I don't know. I was perturbed. I felt bad, though, because I originally said it was Joystick who said it when I tweeted about it, and it was Kotaku. Then everyone else was like, yeah, fuck Joystick. I'm like, wait, no. I take that back. Don't fuck Kotaku. Like, ah.
Like you're like, could you blame me for mixing
it? Right. I mean, you can give me a break. Those two and Destructoid, pretty much the same thing. Oh, the Destructoid has its charming,
sarcasm?
I guess. It's more, it seems to revel in its snarkiness.
True.
The only thing that annoys me about Destructoid is the way that every time they do an editorial, they have to preface it by telling us that it's an editorial, lest we get confused. Whatever. Oh, Mighty Man 10 concept art. You look so hot.
Good lord.
All right. How about our... Okay, well, wait, real quick, though. Other big March releases, though. Mega Man 10.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Miles Edgeworth is coming out either in March or late February, which will be sweet.
Game Room is launching.
Whatever. MLB 10, the show.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
man.
I'm getting incredibly excited for it in a way I did not expect to.
It's very sad that I'm like... It's like I'm looking forward to MLB 10, the show, as much as like Final Fantasy 13.
But, I mean, damn. I've been watching some of those gameplay videos they put out. It looks really good.
It's kind of, you kind of feel bad because MLB 2K10 is trying really hard this year because they got torn apart last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one was very happy with their last effort. So like they're trying really hard. They're trying to like they're sending out like stuff to press every chance they can get. Like look at this video about how it's better. But no, sorry. They still probably have a lot of catching up to do. We'll see. Okay. Or we can gaming. Tell me about BioShock 2.
Okay, BioShock 2 is good, everybody. We can calm down. It's a good game.
All right.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm not super far into it. I really want to finish Mass Effect.
And you were among one of the mild skeptics, I would say.
I was mildly skeptic, but here's what they did right in this game. Something that maybe was a failure of the original BioShock. I feel like a big daddy. When you walk in this game, your footsteps are heavy and hard. Like, you could see the edges of the helmet. You know, you've got your hands in front of you. They're big. They're hulking. They're in that, like, diver suit. You feel like a big daddy.
Does the edges of the helmet kind of – does that do anything to your vision? Is it annoying?
It's, like, the very corners of the screen.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like Metroid Prime
all kind right, of did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's good. I like that aspect of it. And just, like, I like that there's not – as many weapons per se in this game, but they all have the different ammo types. And I just feel like, again, you have a lot of options going into combat. Like my first fight with another big daddy, where I was just mixing all my plasmids that I had with all the weapon types and everything. I mean, it felt very cool. There's also one of the, there's one of the first times it's a battle where you have to kind of defend a location for against a few waves. I liked it. Like you can set these trap bolts out of your rivet gun that like, you know, if they cross the line, the bolt shoots out at them. So I was
Does Rapture still have that kind of classic feel, that sort of slightly creepy?
That's more, above all, what these guys got right. Rapture is still Rapture. It's great. They got that totally right.
Are there still the machines you buy things from?
Yeah.
Do they still make those fun noises and music when you use them?
Yeah, the soundtrack is dead on in this game. I mean, they got all that atmosphere perfect. The tech in the game's a lot better. Character faces don't look like shit anymore.
Well, at least they always... Okay, yeah, it was one thing when, like, the splicers looked shitty, but yeah, the normal people didn't look great either.
Yeah. I'm debating about how much I want to give away.
Well, none, because I haven't played it.
Yeah, I know. Like, even just talking about environments. What? I'm going to err to the side of caution and leave this out.
What was... Oh, go ahead.
One thing they improved a lot, and I like this, is hacking is completely different.
I kind of liked hacking in Bioshock 1.
Gon is playing Pipe Dream.
I liked Pipe Dream.
What happens in this game now is all the hacking's done in real time. It's a very simple procedure, really, where it's just there's a dial moving back and forth. There's lines. Some of them are white that do nothing. Some of them are red that'll hurt you if you stop on them. Some are green, which will advance. And the blue ones, if you could stop on those, will give a bonus to what you're hacking. So if you're hacking a security bot, it does more damage. If you're hacking a med station, you'll get a free first aid kit out of it. If you hack a shop kiosk, you'll get a random free item from it.
Right.
I guess one problem is if you're red-green colorblind, you're kind of screwed.
That's what
people
I heard.
Are asking for them to fix that, which makes sense. I'll give them that. The other thing I really like is one of the new weapons in the game is a remote hacker, where you can actually shoot these darts to hack something from far away, which is actually really fun. Like, if you see, like, a turret or a security camera, you could, like, try to shoot that and hack it. And then you get, like, instant hack darts as an ammo type, too, that are, you know, much more rare. But, I mean, it's really good. I like it a lot. I don't know what people could really complain about in it so far.
The first 10 minutes is good as the first 10 minutes of Bioshock 1.
The big thing that happens in the first 10 minutes, we've all seen it. Remember that trailer they showed where the big sister shatters that glass and the water came rushing in?
Right.
That's kind of like the setup to what is their sub-moment from Bioshock 1, where you're walking around in the water now, which is cool.
But just admit, it's not as good as Bioshock 1's first 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
That's one. All right.
No, it's not.
How about multiplayer?
Multiplayer was better than I expected. It does have a little bit of that slap-together feel, only in that, for one thing, you have to connect to it. Like, it's a separate executable in the PC version. Like, you're in the single-player game, it's like quit to multiplayer, and the game closes, and, like, another game opens up.
Weird.
Yeah. You know, you got some customization with your characters that's kind of cool. One problem I had, though, is it took me like 10 minutes to find a game of like free-for-all deathmatch. Hmm. Maybe everyone's playing single player. I don't know. It's all done through Games for Windows Live and the PC. I almost feel like they probably could have used this as an opportunity to do cross-platform multiplayer, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I like it. The way you go into it is you make predefined loadouts. You get two weapons, two plasmids, and three tonics that you can equip to yourself.
Is there leveling up system like all those multiplayer?
Yeah, as you level up, you get more. You're collecting Atom when you level up, and then you get access to more plasmids and weapons and everything. I've only played Deathmatch and Team Deathmatch. I haven't done any crazy modes. One thing I like, too, is apparently a Big Daddy suit will randomly drop, and then you, like, everyone tries to get that.
Oh, interesting.
And then, like, if you take down the Big Daddy, you get an achievement called Mr. Bubbles, no.
There it is.
One issue I did have, though, like, when I started multiplayer, it copied over my graphic preferences from single player. The multiplayer is way more sluggish than single player.
That's usually the case, right?
Yeah, so I think I need to go in and tweak those settings, because everything ran great in single player, but multiplayer, I had a lot of frame rate issues. It's good. The only thing is, though, I still don't see people sticking to it.
Well, you wouldn't stick to it, because you don't even play multiplayer of these games anyways.
Right, but I just think so much of it, too, is people think of Bioshock as a single-player game because of the first one. I almost don't even think it's going to occur to a lot of people to play Bioshock. Like, they're not going to be sitting around thinking, like, what should I play tonight? They're not going to say, oh, Bioshock 2 multiplayer. They're going to say Call of Duty, you know?
Right. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens of it, what becomes of
that
it.
That was like Chris was like, oh, you got the PC version. I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, we can't play online. I'm like, does it really matter? And he's like, no. Like, I saved $15 and I like playing with a mouse and keyboard, so sue me.
All right, you dump Bioshock 2 for now?
I feel like there's one more thing I was going to say. Oh, one thing I did like, too, about the multiplayer. There's, like, a little prologue you can do that all it does is sets up the story of multiplayer, how it is the fall of Rapture on New Year's of 1959. That's kind of cool. It actually helps it make a little bit of sense.
Okay. Anyways, I beat Mass Effect 1.
Congratulations.
So, right. And, you know, I started playing Mass Effect 1 because I wanted to play Mass Effect 2. You know, Mass Effect 1, it was fun. But, you know,
the end is good. I like
the end is good.
I like that game, it, like, you hit that point where you know you're building to the end. Mm-hmm. And so the game doesn't, like, throw in any bullshit. It just gets you to the end,
right,
you know?
Right. And, you know, it's fun. And it's nice. You know, it's a little, you know, overly heroic. Like, oh, we think he's dead. No, here I am. It's like, oh, wow. Low camera shot, you know. That kind of thing. So, you know, I'm like, alright, fine. So I got Mass Effect 2. I'm like, alright, let's see what this is about. Holy shit.
Uh-huh.
What the hell is this?
Uh-huh.
What? How did that happen? How is Mass Effect 2 as good as it is? I don't get it.
I told you, it's the best shooter I've ever played.
Charred 2.
Except for that.
Okay. Well, it might be as good as Uncharted 2, though. And that's what's weird, because you know how much I like Uncharted 2. Yeah. Like, I thought, like, Uncharted 2 was, like, a come across, like, once in a few years kind of game. And yet, you know, a few months later, here's Mass Effect 2. It's that good. Like, I'm confused. Like, I'm still not quite processing how good it is. And I feel like I don't want to, you know, get in everyone's face and start, you know, unnecessarily, like, ooh. Listen, guys. I'm telling you, it's really good. Bizarrely good. I don't know how these guys had it in them. First off, they got rid of anything. What I liked is that they didn't just, like, fix things that were bad at Mass Effect 1. They just got rid of them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you guys didn't like inventory management. Screw that. I'm like, yes. Because that was the one thing. It annoyed me. It annoyed the hell out of me. Like, every time you killed someone, they dropped, like, 5 weapons.
And they were all kind of useless.
Right. And they're always useless. And it was like, convert to Omni-Gel. I'm like, what the fuck is Omni-Gel? Okay. Sure. So, you know, none of that. No Mako stuff. And, you know, they streamlined the shoot. They didn't really streamline it. They just made it better, I guess. Like, the shooting feels good now.
I like the kind of fake ammo system to it. They're not
right. Yeah. At first, I was like, "Oh, there's ammo."
Sinks, basically.
I'm like, at first, I was like, "Oh, there's ammo now. What are they doing?" You know, I think that's the first inclination of anyone when they first start playing. Like, what have they done? They just made it a shooter, and then it kind of starts making sense because everything, all the role playing aspects of Mass Effect 1, in that you're kind of, you know, more so the stuff you do, not so much like, you know, talking to people and doing things for them and making decisions, and, you know, you could do this versus that, more so than an RPG because, oh, you have stats and inventory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it works much better for that. And the AI is better. The writing is a lot better somehow.
The voice acting
is really good.
There's not one bad acted line that I've come across yet, which impresses the hell out of me.
I'll tell you what, with all the advertising, I thought there was only, like, 5 squad mates you would get in the game.
There's a bunch.
Yeah, because but I really thought that though. It was like, oh, I guess they lowered the number of people you can have in your team. Because, like, the advertising really focused on, like, just those four people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, I guess that's it. But no, there's a lot. And
I just got, the other night I was playing, and I got the character Thane. Have you gotten him
yeah,
yet?
Yeah, I got Thane. He's pretty cool. He's the assassin.
How sweet is he?
He is pretty sweet.
He's way cool.
He's sweet. Dr. Morden is awesome.
Yeah, well, that's my party, Morden and Thane right now.
Mine is Morden and Archangel.
Good
and,
call.
I won't say that, but man, when I got Archangel, I was very happy. He has the best dialogue, too, just when you're doing things.
Yeah, he really does.
His stuff is great. At one point, you're like in a hospital. He's like, oh, hospitals aren't fun to fight through. Shepard's like, what are fun to fight through? He's like, parks, gardens. He just kind of goes on for a while.
That's awesome.
Right.
I didn't even know that. The other thing, what this game does so well, I mean, I'll admit, even for as much as I like the first Mass Effect, BioWare used to talk about how the persistence through the trilogy was going to be a big deal. And
it really
stuff
is.
Stuff like that before. And I was always like, yeah, right, whatever. Oh my god, they nailed that. They got that. Like, not only do, like, the really big decisions from Mass Effect
a lot of little things
this game, a lot of little things. And that's what makes it work. It is those little things. When you get, like, an email from somebody you helped out in the first game, or when you run into a character that you did side quests for in the first game, the fact that that data was even stored and transferred is amazing to me. And the way it's implemented is awesome.
Now, like, did you say Rex?
Yeah. And when you find him, I was like, He comes over and gives you, like, this friggin' bear hug. I'm like, oh, Rex!
Like, I can't imagine, though. What happens if you hadn't saved Rex?
I know. It'd be so different. So, I mean, he wouldn't be in the game.
He seems so important right now. It's crazy.
I know. It's so cool. That's like I said. If I ever decide to replay Mass Effect 2, which I'm likely to do, I feel like I have to replay the first game.
But
like they're one and the same experience in a lot of ways.
It's hard. I think it's going to be really hard going back to Mass Effect 1. And I said this
on
Twitter.
That is going to be a problem.
I said this on Twitter. I haven't seen so much of an improvement between games in a series or the first and second game since Mega Man. With Mega Man 1 and 2.
And here's the thing. I agree with you, and I really liked Mass Effect 1.
That's the
thing. So imagine how much I like this game.
I thought when I was playing through Mass Effect, I'm like, this is a fun game, but it has a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
But Mass Effect 2 has pretty much none of those problems. When I was playing through Mass Effect 1, I never really got engrossed in it, I never really cared that much, I guess. Mm-hmm. I care a lot more in Mass Effect 2, it's weird, about, like, everything. I love every character you have, you have to do, like, the quest from them to make them loyal to you, and it's not
oh,
like...
I just
and,
started doing those,
right.
They're good.
In Mass Effect 1, all of the side quests were pretty, they were substandard. There wasn't much to them at all. But these are there's just as much to them as any of the regular missions.
I think there might be more. Like, I did the Zaid quest, who's the free DLC character you get. His quest is great. There's so much going on. Like, it's very scripted. I not scripted in that bad way. Like, maybe script is not the word I want. It's just that by nature of choice in the game, the fact that you can have anybody in your party, like you're talking about that banter about the hospital. That's great, but if I don't have him in my party, I miss that. And maybe I have someone in my party who doesn't even have banter set for that part, or it's not as good. But when you're doing these quests with the character, that character has to be in your party, and they take advantage of that to really kind of, cheesy as it sounds, do a lot to form your relationship with that character within the context
right.
of that mission.
It's kind of
like, the mission for Morden, I mean, I already like that character. But the stuff that he does in that mission, oh my god, he's awesome. Like, he's absolutely incredible as a character to me.
Right, and it's great because this gives an opportunity to flesh out all of the characters and to really make you play with all the characters at least once. Because you're probably going to have two that you like, and that'll be your squad of three people. And these kind of force you, like, well, I'm going to put this guy in. You're going to do this one thing. And you kind of see, oh, I kind of like him. And maybe I'll throw him in there sometimes.
Right, right.
I guess if there's one thing I don't like, I guess the scanning is kind of, I don't see the point of it.
I find myself strangely enjoying it.
I don't know why.
It has, using it with a mouse, it has a very kind of tactile feel to me.
But I hate it because when you're actually scanning, your like mouse cursor moves as slow as hell.
Yeah, I don't, that's what makes it, makes it feel to me like I'm actually feeling the planet in a way.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. I could do without it.
I know I'm in the minority on this one, but I don't know. I've been kind of enjoying it in a strange way.
Well, good for you. There's apparently nothing about Mass Effect 2 you don't like, because that's the only thing.
I love the way they change hacking in this game. There's, like, the two types.
Right.
The one where you're trying to find, like, the little lines of code. Those are, like, strangely intense.
It's fine.
Like, you know, my eyes are darting up and down, looking over everything. Like, oh, man, yes.
I must be better at you than that, because I never have a problem with it.
They get harder. Where
I'm just as far as you are.
Like,
pretty much.
Have you had the ones yet where like the left column it's like staggered?
No.
Yeah, I hit a couple of those.
Oh, man.
Those are hard.
Maybe my skills are just so much better than yours. I don't know.
Yeah, clearly.
But you know, it's interesting because I don't want to play. I don't want to play Bioshock 2 until I beat this. I decided, and I was kind of worried now because I almost liked it so much. I wonder if Bioshock 2 is going to disappoint me.
Right.
Is that a case? Was that a problem for you? No.
No.
Okay, good.
Here's the thing, though. Can you remember the last time that you've played a game that came out in January that you thought to yourself, this is Game of the Year contender right here?
Yeah, it is. That is kind of weird, actually.
In a way, I'm glad it didn't come out in 2009, because that would have complicated things.
Right, it would have. And, like, right now, I have a hard time imagining what's going to be better than this.
Yeah.
I really do. Even, like, some of the games I'm really looking forward to, I can't imagine would be better than this. It seems... And unless we're really at a point now where we're getting games of this quality on a more regular basis than we used to, I mean, hey, that's great.
Fantastic. And again, it's like you've said about Uncharted 2. People who complain about this game to any great degree, what the fuck else can this game do?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get
What more? It's cinematic. It's engrossing. The gameplay is fantastic.
Like, the one, like...
The storytelling is there. What else do you need?
On Metacritic, there's, like, you know, there's the reviews. And it's, like, a 96 right now is the average. Incredible. And, you know, everything's above 90 except for this one guy gave it 75. And apparently this guy was the world's biggest Mass Effect 1 fan ever. And I guess this guy thought Mass Effect 1 was the greatest game ever. And if that's the case, yeah, I guess he'll be pissed, because Mass Effect 2 is certainly different. It's better. I don't understand how you couldn't see that, but, you know.
Yeah, see, it brings up that question of gaming criticism again, too. Like, especially for a sequel, do you judge it on its own merit, or do you constantly compare it to the first game, which I think is a problem that Bioshock 2 faces, too. You have to kind of decide and state in your review, are you going to base your review strictly on a comparison of this game to its first game, or are you strictly taking it on its own merit?
Here's what I don't get, though. I don't understand how everyone's like, well, this one's more of a shooter than Mass Effect 1 was. I don't buy that, because Mass Effect 1 was pretty much a shooter. It was just dogged down by a lot of bullshit. It was still a shooter. You're still just popping up out of cover and shooting things. It just wasn't done as well. And I'll tell you what, in Mass Effect 1, I just had all my characters on, you know, autopilot, all my people. I was like, you use your abilities whenever you want to. I don't want to deal with it. It's easy enough. This time I turned that off, and I use their abilities when I want to.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to turn off the offensive abilities. Because I find myself going to use them in a place I wanted to. I'm like, oh, you used it already?
Right, I had that problem. So
it's recharging?
Right, so I turned that off. I'm like, no, I'm just going to do these from now on. And
I
never did that in the first one at all. So, I don't know. And also, very good-looking game. I can't believe these people also made Dragon Age, which was as ugly as sin.
Like I said, Dragon Age was started earlier, and it's its own engine. This is based off Unreal Tech that they've refined to a sheen. You have no texture popping or tearing or anything. It looks great.
I hope Dragon Age 2 looks good.
Yeah. One thing, too.
They actually have teeth this time. They actually have decent teeth models, thank God.
Yeah, I know. One thing that, I don't know if this bothers me, but like I got like all this different armor from like various pre-order bonuses and collector's edition bonuses and blah, blah, blah.
They all hide your face.
Like, yeah, they all hide your face, and it's way more fun to customize the armor.
Right, I just use the armor I got.
Base armor, If you work with that base armor, not only can you customize individual components, but I didn't realize this the other day. If you scroll down, you could start playing with like the material and the color patterns and everything, and really tweak it out.
Right? Yeah, I don't want to use any of those helmets and stuff, because like when I first started, when you get that first time you can change your armor, I put on like that Dragon Age armor. Then I immediately went to a cutscene and I couldn't see my face, and I'm like, well, screw that.
Yeah, especially when like one character made reference to my facial expression. I was like, I'm wearing a helmet.
I was just like, nope, none of that. Back to no helmety. No helmety for me. Aren't you a girl?
Yes.
That just seems weird to me. I can't imagine what that game is like.
I imagine it's different.
I wonder if it is. Do any of the guys hit on you? That'd be interesting.
Yeah, like NPCs and stuff, they'll make sexist comments to me, and I get a little offended.
Oh, good.
Oh, speaking of, one other thing I really like in this game that's a lot of fun is the Paragon and Renegade actions that come up during
dialogue. Yeah, that's kind of nice. It's interesting. It's nice because What I like about it is, especially if you're a Paragon, the Renegade ones, they actually are tempting. They actually test you.
That's the thing. Yeah, there were been two in particular that, oh my god, I wanted to click that left mouse button because I knew what I was going to do was going to be fucking
blowing up that one. There's a part where you had to blow up that tank.
Out of character.
I was like, it's like that guy talks forever, and it's like, if you click the left mouse button, you're gonna blow up that tank and kill him, and it'll be awesome. And he's doing a speech, and I'm like, dang it!
It's like, I don't feel like this is a bad thing. I'm gonna shoot him anyway in a second. Why can't I just blow him up now?
But it was cool.
So good. All right, such a good game.
Enough of the Mass Effect 2 confab. Did you play anything else?
I have an iPhone game.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's called Rhythm Ribbon. It's from the guys who make Tap Tap Revenge. It's kind of like a weird cross of Tap Tap Revenge and Audio Surf. Right now, the game features a lot of Black Eyed Peas music. But the way it's played is like you've got this little ball rolling down like this kind of note highway sort of thing. And you just have to tilt the iPhone to keep it on the track. And what's cool is as you fall off the track, it does kind of neat things to screw up the music, but in a way that still sounds good. So you really kind of feel like you're making your own mixes. And then every so often the track will divert to where it layers in a different song, so you can kind of create your own remixes as you go. It's pretty neat.
All right.
It's like $3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Black Eyed Peas, which I've discovered. I didn't realize Black Eyed Peas wrote both of these songs. But they actually write one of my more favorite songs of this genre of music and one of my least favorite songs of, I guess, would you call it hip-hop? I don't know. I'm not very hip on
music. I don't really know Black Eyed Peas very much. I know you have no idea about rap, though, so you're probably wrong.
Well, it's not rap. It's definitely,
you know what
rap.
I mean.
I don't know, but they do that. They make that 2008 USO 2000 late song. Oh, I hate that song. But they also got that one, it's going to be a good night or whatever. I like that song.
All right.
Yeah, so, you know.
Okay.
Well, there's that. I feel like there was one more thing I was going to talk about.
Like what?
I've just been
playing Mass Effect. I mean, I played Warcraft. I mean, did you want to talk about Star Trek Online, something about it?
Oh, yeah, that's it. I was just going to say, it still continues to be awesome.
Yeah, we had fun. We were playing the other day. It was cool.
Yeah. What I like the most about that game that I think a lot of MMOs need to do, it does a good job of getting you to play with other people.
It does.
And not, like, begrudging that fact.
And I think it says something. I'm playing it as much as I can, even though there's really all these really good games coming out still.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle, like, because I know, like, I got to pick one or the other per day. Is it going to be a Star Trek day? Is it going to be a Mass Effect day?
Or, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to do Mass Effect 2, but like I really want to do everything in it.
Mm-hmm. I also randomly played some Super Mario Galaxy the other day.
Oh, that's
still
fun.
A great game.
That's fun.
Did you see the rumor? I have no idea how substantial this is, which is why I didn't report it in the news, but I'll talk about it. The rumor is that Sonic the Hedgehog might be a playable character in Galaxy 2.
Says who?
I forget what site it was from. But whatever mole fed this to them apparently has been right about a lot of things in the past. Like I said, I don't know how substantial this is. I do kind of think it would be cool, though.
That's one way to make a good 3D Sonic game, just to get the Mario guys to do it.
Yeah, right.
Like what? I wonder how he would control. It would basically be... Isn't this kind of what Sonic Extreme was supposed to be?
Yeah, in a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
The round world and everything.
I mean, I can see why they would do it since those Mario and Sonic Olympic games are such a big selling.
Yeah, thing. They're all buddy-buddy now.
Right. It's kind of weird how... Yeah, they are all buddy-buddy now. It is sort of weird. All right. Why don't you do releases?
Okay. On WiiWare, we have Blaster Master Overdrive, which I'm curious to try. Tomina Sanner. I don't know what that is. Bloons. I don't know what that is. Hubert the Teddy Bear Winter Games. I don't know if this is like an existing property or what. DSI has Oscar in Movie Land. This is not like Oscar the Grouch. I don't know.
I had assumed it was, too. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, that's why I decided to clear that. Link and Launch. Field Runners, which is a very good tower defense game that started on the iPhone. Sudoku 4 Pockets. And Extreme Hangman.
All right.
I don't know what makes it extreme.
All right.
And the Virtual Console has Princess Tomato in the Salad Kingdom for the NES.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. Oh. Xbox Live Arcade got Darwinia Plus, and Games on Demand got Street Fighter 4. on the PlayStation Network. The only thing released game-wise was a bunch of PS1 games. Dirt Jockey, Populous, The Beginning, and Sim Theme Park.
I had Sim Theme Park.
Yeah, I remember that.
I liked that game.
It had that kind of Willy Wonka-looking dude explaining it. Right.
Yeah. I kind of lost interest once Rollercoaster Tycoon came out, or I played Rollercoaster Tycoon. Rollercoaster Tycoon might have came out first, even. I can't remember now.
They need to do that. That should be a good old game. Rollercoaster Tycoon 2 with all the expansions. I'd buy that for $6. Speaking of good old games.
I would buy that.
I know. Speaking of good old games, they released 3 games this week. Well, actually, 5 games, if you want to be specific. Mob Rule, then a bundle of Space Quest 4, 5, and 6, and Phantasmagoria.
Too bad they never made Space Quest 7 Return to Roman Numerals.
Is that what it was going to be called?
Yeah, because I guess they kept switching back and forth, and Space Quest like 6 was with the real 6, and 7 had Roman numerals, so the subtitle was The Return to Roman Numerals.
That's pretty sweet.
I love that. I always thought that was funny. I read that one time. I think I was researching. I was probably researching a quiz like years ago, and I read that. I was like, "That's pretty funny." There's weird how like, some things I'll think of. That was really clever. I'm gonna remember that for the rest of my life. Good job, Space. Like I think I played like Space Quest 6 once and never got very far in it, but I'll always remember that little joke there. It's sort of weird when you were bred on LucasArts games. It's kind of hard to play Sierra.
It was kind of a Nintendo Sega thing back then.
It's different because I could I literally can't really play them. It's just there's something about them.
I think it's that you know you can die, and you're so used to playing adventure games knowing you can't die.
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's some unquantifiable thing.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for the real releases?
Yeah.
So BioShock 2 for PS3, 360, and PC.
Hey, real quick, you are playing Mass Effect 2 on PC, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I am doing that, but... Oh, but, you know, it was fun to transfer my character and all that. But BioShock 2, I'll play on the 360, honestly. Nice.
Well, that's because Chris bought it on 360.
Well, yeah, right? There's that. But, I mean, I wouldn't have told him I'll get it for PC. I wouldn't have cared.
Right.
You didn't get this. Was the special edition even available for the PC?
No, but what was great is because I pre-ordered it on Steam. It was $5 cheaper, and I got BioShock 1 for free.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So, Dante's Inferno came for the PS3 and 360. I have one friend who, like... is like so excited for that game. And I just kept kind of laughing. Like, oh, Dante's Inferno. Did you see the Super Bowl commercial? I'm like, yeah.
Is it PJ?
Maybe. His name his name rhymes with AJ. Okay, Star Ocean, The Last Hope, the international version. So basically their PS3 version. Sins of the Solar Empire Trinity for the PC. Super Monkey Ball, Step and Roll for the Wii. They keep making these, don't they?
Yeah.
Remember when the first one came out for the Wii and it was like awesome, like, oh, this is so cool.
You mean GameCube?
GameCube, yeah. I'm like, I can't imagine them milking this for all it's worth. Shiren the Wanderer is a Shiren for Wii.
Shiren, I believe, is the correct pronunciation.
I got this on DS. It's a roguelike.
That's right, you did get that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's very intense. It's very hardcore.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
you
it.
You skipped World of Outlaws Sprint Cars for the 360.
Did I?
Yeah.
Where was that at? I don't see World of...
Right above it.
I thought it was an Xbox Live arcade game for a second. Well, there it is, I guess. This was once described to me as the most boring segment of our show by far. But there it is at the end, anyways.
It probably is. That's why we do it last.
Right. Hey, we gotta get past that hour. I mean, we're well past it today, but sometimes you need it.
Yeah, we had a long show this week.
Sometimes you need all the help you can get. Well, there's a lot of Mass Effect 2 gushing.
That's very true.
It's good. Pretty good. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at the iTunes Music Store or at the Zoom Marketplace now, huh?
Yeah, we're all over the place now. Right. Also, we put out a call on Twitter, but we would really appreciate reviews on said services.
Yes. You know,
those help our numbers.
If you can ever get enough reviews, you might even be featured on the iTunes thing someday. Who knows?
Which would always be fun.
It'd be fun. Our logo's definitely cool enough, I think. We've always had a nice logo. You're welcome.
Yeah, good job, Mike.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, okay. Anyways, thanks. And also SquadronShame.com. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Hey, it's my birthday next week.
Yeah, no one cares.